One of the big lessons and summary overview lessons I got from studying the book of Philippians is that about thoughts. If you think about it, Paul has made a lot of comments about thoughts in the book of Philippians. And we're going to look at those. But there's great power in our thoughts, right? What we think. Remember that children's song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Now, some of that's so you don't sin, right? So be careful. But the idea is what goes in here goes in our hearts, doesn't it? What we see and hear and think becomes who we are. And so, there are power in thoughts. Have you heard this quote before? A lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes truth. The fact is, our minds will learn. We begin to believe things. When we're told something often enough, we believe it, right? And so, there's power in our thoughts. There's power in what we think. Even in this, I don't use the word non-traditional. And you may use some of these, and that's okay. But we all heard of the placebo effect. Okay, you can't, if somebody does a drug test, they give a placebo. Why? Because some people think they're healed already, and they actually are healed. They heal themselves because their mind says they're healed, right? That's the way that works. Our minds are powerful. Hypnotism. I know, and Debbie and I both know, a man who was treated addiction to smoking through hypnotism. And it worked. I don't know. It worked. What can I say? I know of another person who took electric shock therapy to try erase recently, in the last year or so, a habit that he had developed of basically falling asleep while he was driving. Through electric shock therapy in his head to try and reconstruct or make his brain reconstruct and do away with that section that programmed him to just fall asleep. He just fall asleep driving down the road. You can imagine how dangerous that was, right? And if you want to validate any of this, if you trust anything on the web, Mayo Clinic and WebMD have articles on all three of those. Okay? Our mind's powerful. And Paul brings that out in the book of Philippians. We can train and retrain our memory. I am trying to learn Spanish. I'm trying to relearn how to speak. That's what that is. It's hard. I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak English either. And that's one of the things that really irks me is I despise, I don't like English. It's complicated and silly, and I'm analytical, and it's very analytical. And Spanish has forced me to learn English at the same time. And if I'd known that a couple of years ago, I probably would never tried. But regardless. So when we look in the book of Philippians, these words are used for mind or thoughts or to take count of, to think of, to consider. There are 25 words in this short little book about our mind. And that's the ones that I picked up on, and there's probably more. Paul had a lot to say about our mind. And so, I'm using that as a theme for the lesson today. What about our thoughts? What about our mind? What about what we think? 25 words of thinking. So, first one. Be anchored together, thoughts. In other words, in our minds, be joined together, steadfast. Now, I did not do this lessons in Philippians 1, 27 through 30. It was kind of a similar, very parallel to one we had in James, but I chose not to present that one. But in Philippians 1, 27 through 30, let's read that. Let your conversation be as come the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. The idea is wrestling together is actually what that is. Not fighting, working together. That reminds me of the old flying V they had in football. If you like, who all likes football, but In the older football generation, decades ago, they had a flying V, and the idea was everybody worked together and pushed forward. Even today, they have renditions of that because the offensive line is so important. Striving together for the faith. That is a mindset with one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so, without fear. And against adversary, not against ourselves, not infighting, right? We don't. That's not what Paul wants here. He wants wrestling within ourselves. We are wrestling together against our adversaries, as that's noted there. Stand up for belief in Christ. Stand up for suffering for Christ. Again, it's a mindset. It's a thought. And then it continues, actually, in Philippians 2, 1 through 11. In Philippians 2, 1 through 11, unity and humility of thought. What are they to think of each other? The same thought. Humble thought. The same thought and humble thought. We did study this lesson. Actually, we did the one on unity, right? And there's the thoughts and minds there in unity. And that was Philippians 2. Actually, verse 2, be like-minded, the same love, and one accord of one mind. Okay? As we continue on, we look at independent thought. In other words, we're all personally accountable. I did the lesson on that one, so we don't have to spend much time on it, but we are individually accountable, personally accountable for what we believe. And so we have responsibility in that regard. Then we have inspiring thoughts. We talked about this lesson here about complaining and murmuring. The onomatopoeia word, a big long word, grumbling, like the dog in his food bowl. Get away from my food, right? The dog does that. We are to be a beacon of light, not to be grumbling, but encouraging, inspiring, exhorting one another. And so that beacon of light, inspiring thoughts, that's our mind, right? Because what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. What comes out of our heart is what we put in our mind. And so there's those inspiring thoughts. We're to be a beacon of light to others. And then we spent time talking about this joyful thoughts. And this is scattered throughout the entire book of Philippians. So Paul had trials. It was not that Paul did not have troubles. It was not that Paul did not have struggles in life. He had them. He had a lot of them. But look, in Philippians 1, 12 through 26, what do they think of Paul's trials? Don't worry about me. Hey, I'm in prison. Right, I'm in prison, but the word of gospel is still being preached in Caesar's palace. My adversaries are getting taken advantage of me, but that's okay. Jesus is being preached. I might die, but it's okay. I'll be with my Savior. Don't worry about me. But Jesus, Paul had trials. Paul had concern for the Philippians in Philippians 2 and 19. I didn't preach this one, but if you look at Philippians 2:19, notice what he has to say there about concern for them. And he is going to send Epaphroditus and Timothy so he can know about them and know how the Philippians are doing. I actually want to focus on Philippians 2. Look at verse 26. Philippians 2:26. He longed after you, Epaphroditus. He was full of heaviness because you heard that he had been sick. For he was sick, in verse 27, nigh to death. But God had mercy on him and on not him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So Epaphroditus helped Paul. He was a benefit. Paul had anxieties. The thoughts of his circumstances there in Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I would speak in respect for want, but I've learned in whatever state to be content. I know how to be abased and abound. I am struck to be full and hungry, to abound and suffer need. So he had anxiety. And the Philippians had anxiety. They were worried about Paul in Philippians 1. Right, Paul talking about those struggles there kind of gives an answer to the Philippians that this is why you don't need to worry about me. So they were worried. They had, and for good reason, right? We worry about things like that. We see in Philippians 10, or 4:10, we didn't spend as much time on Paul there. In Philippians 4, verse 10 and 14 and 19, we see how the Philippians were anxious about Paul. In verse 10, it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at last your care for me has flourished, wherein you were anxious, but you lacked opportunity. In verse 14, you have done well. You shared in my affliction. And then it continues on there how they helped. So, yes, they were worried about Paul. And they were worried about Epaphroditus in that reading there. In verse 26, where we read, and they were in heaviness because you had heard he was sick. They were worried because they heard Epaphroditus is sick. What might happen? He might die. Yeah, they had reason to worry. In our lesson on joy, we see in Philippians 4:4 and through 9 there that they should not be anxious about some things, right? So they had anxieties. And this is where there's a lot of material here in this part of it. Paul has a lot to say about joy in this letter. And so I'm not going to go in great detail now on it. But notice, in every prayer of mine with for you all in Philippians 1 verse 4, making requests with joy. Paul made his request, his prayer to God with joy. So Paul's joy is sourced from the Philippians condition. In Philippians 2:2, fulfill you my joy that you be, and he's talking about unity there. So if you will fulfill my joy if you do these things. Verse 16 through 18, hold forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. In verse 17 there. And in verse 18, for the same cause also you rejoice and rejoice with me. Paul received joy from Epaphroditus. We read that in verse 28. The Philippians rejoiced in Paul. In other words, Paul was able to allow the Philippians to rejoice. So these are all joyful thoughts. They're mine. Encouragement to be happy, to be joyous, not to be grumpy or complaining, as was noted in the one passage, but to rejoice. Give your anxiety to God. And so there again, the Philippians' joy was sourced from Paul. Paul gave the Philippians, was able to give the Philippians joy and to cause them to rejoice. And then also from Epaphroditus. Most of all, they were to rejoice in Jesus. Philippians 1:18, rejoice that Jesus was preached. Rejoice in that. Paul's in prison, but rejoice that either way, Jesus is being preached, whether by me or these were his adversaries. Therein I rejoice, Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord, Philippians 3:1. Philippians 3:3, we rejoice in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We're to have joyful thoughts. Joyful thoughts. Also the gentle and content thoughts. And that's picked up in Philippians 4. We kind of touched on that, I believe, as well in our lesson on joy a while back. So we are to be content and not anxious. And also part of anxiety is sometimes we get a little agitated, easy to get agitated, right? And so he wants us to be gentle. And Paul was content. We talked about that as well. So I'm not going to go into great detail. The idea is Paul wanted them to control their minds, and he used that word a lot. He used that word a lot about their mind. And then thoughts on Paul's past. We talked about the athletic analogy, how Paul's glory years, how he had done all these great things as a Jew. He didn't look backwards, right? He looked forward. He didn't revel in his past. He looked forward, strove for the things of God, striving for the goal line in Philippians 3:13 through 21. Right? And all his past he counted lost for Jesus. That means nothing to me anymore, he says. So his thoughts, he didn't revel in the past. He didn't live in the past. He didn't glory in the past. He looked to the forward, to Jesus, to the finish line as he was running a race. Thoughts of the past he put away. Again, controlling our thoughts. So it's down to mastering our mind, being that beacon of light, or maybe grumbling like a dog in his food bowl. Get away from me, right? Kind of snappy, right? Rejoice, not anxious, without anxiety, without fear. Strong and steadfast, without fear, without intimidation. We also see the thoughts of appreciation, of sympathy and support. As we studied the very first of the letter, there in Philippians chapter 1, we looked at the prayer Paul gave. He says he thanks God in verse 3 of chapter 1 on every remembrance, in every prayer, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. And so we see that there, unified and standing together, not divided and fighting each other, but standing together, not in fear, but strong and steadfast, not intimidated. Mastering our hearts, mastering of our hearts begins in our thoughts, doesn't it? It begins with what we think, and there's a power in positive thinking. Sometimes, for some reason, we think less of that, or we don't think much of it like we should. The reality is it matters. If we're saved, if we're Christians, if we have God as our God is our God, and we recognize that and we live our lives like that, then what are we afraid of? Then why are we not happy, right? That's the question. Why are Christians sometimes the not happiest, and sometimes we're not? And so we want to look for these things. Paul says we can control our minds. Science says we can control our minds. Now, I can't tell you how to do it. I can say all that, but it's not easy sometimes, is it? It's not easy. We have that ability. Our minds are trainable. After a period of time, somebody keeps telling us something, we believe it. A lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told a thousand times becomes truth. We begin to believe it. We tell ourselves, that's got to be right now. At some point, that's just the way humankind works. That's the way humankind works. So there is power in thoughts. We can train our minds. I still believe I can learn Spanish. I'm a long way from it. It's challenging. But I can learn. I can retrain. My brain's not taken set yet, contrary to what some people say. It's still plowed. But we can also mistrain it, right? If we can train it to do good, train it to do right, or train it to do wrong, we can retrain it to do something different. It's like learning how to ride a bicycle again. Or, I don't know, maybe trying to ride a unicycle. You ever tried to ride a unicycle? No, me neither. I hadn't either. I back that back. I did try once or twice, and it hurts so bad I quit. And sometimes it hurts, though, to retrain. So, in summary, we should have anchored thoughts. We should have independent thoughts. We should have inspiring thoughts, joyful thoughts, content and gentle thoughts. Not past thought, not living in the past, but living in the future. And Jesus offers all that. You know, sometimes I wonder if we should look at it like he told in Matthew 7. Seek and ye shall find. No, it's there. Look for it. Maybe in some way he'll uncover that for you in your own life. But we have to look for it. It won't just happen. We won't just change. It's not by accident. But there's beauty and a beautiful life given for us. And God has shown us, and Paul has shown us, we can know, or if we can mold our mind to what God wants us to be. And so seek those things and strive after those things. It's not something that's going to happen. And I'm not going to tell you I know how to do it. But it's something that can happen. And there's given, as we studied lessons, we found some ways to apply those things. So I hope that lesson was beneficial to you. There's two other lessons that I have in mind. One is on fellowship. That's a word mentioned here a lot. It's not completely independent of this, but it's part of it. Fellowship. And another thought, lesson I want to preach is about encouraging, preaching, teaching, and instruction. Because one of the things you get from this whole letter of Paul is very few chastisements in this letter, very few reproofs. And we're going to look at those. And that's going to help us. And what I want to do with that one is how we communicate with each other and how we communicate with others and what it amounts to. And so we can talk about that. And we're going to have those future lessons that come up And they're looking at it from the entire book perspective, kind of like we looked at today. Are you a Christian? We always want to offer a chance for you to obey the gospel, to do what Jesus has asked. Jesus, if you believe in Him, Jesus says you are baptized, your sins will be washed away. He has made the sacrifice that allows for that, and will give you a chance this morning to make that confession, be baptized if you wish to. Or if you begin your life as a Christian and you've detoured off the way, and you wish to have the help of the saints in some way, we encourage you to make that known as well. So won't you come while we stand and sing our song of encouragement?